is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
.com Proudly nominated for National Association of Broadcasters 2019 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station of the Year. And live from the Rider University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today is Dom DeRosa and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs.
Oh, yeah.
So only the three of us are here, and Sean Johnson is on, I guess, as of now, Sean Standard Time.
Sean is sleeping in his bedroom.
I'm going to say this. I think that we should make a segment based on that.
Like, you know what? I agree.
But like, what do you mean? Like, what would we talk about?
You know in iCarly, like, what's Gibby thinking about?
Oh, yeah.
What's Sean dreaming about?
Yeah. And then it's like Sean Standard Time, and he's just like, I don't know what the hell's going on. Last week or something, he was, you know what?
He's probably like right now dreaming about Mika Zibanejad and Rangers baby.
Yeah, probably.
Well, because last week he came on the show, I think, right?
Yeah. He showed up for the last two segments, I think.
Yeah, so like,
is it because of me? Is it because I showed up?
You didn't show up last week. You had to get training, but just the three of us. Dom's back. Dom has moved up in the world. He's now one of the technical directors for our ESPN Bronx Vision crew, so he did a very good job. And Dom, remember, it's all about the bug.
Yeah, I'm better with that than other people are.
I admit that.
You're announcing that on the show.
I got better with that the second day.
Yes. I wasn't there the second day. I was there the first day. So I'll be there today as we're recording this on a Saturday. So, I'll know if you're putting up the bug. But I think you will. You did a great job on your first day. That was your only real flaw. So props to you. But we got a lot to talk about. A lot of baseball news, basketball news, football, playoffs are underway. Championship game is, on Sunday, in this case when you listen to it today. So lots to talk about. So we're gonna start with baseball first. Gotta kick it off with George Springer, one of the highly touted free agents in baseball. He lands in his eyes, a mega deal, which it kind of is. A 6-year, I believe, 6 or 7-year deal worth about $125-150 million with the Toronto Blue Jays. He's no longer with the Houston Astros. Him and Houston couldn't come up with a deal, and Toronto has been very urgent and pushy, I guess you could say, in getting a big name to kind of compete with the Yankees, because with the Rays now kind of falling back and trading Blake Snell, they're kind of in this lull period. Obviously, Boston's kind of not where they want to be yet. So it's kind of now between the Yankees and the Blue Jays now after the Springer signing. So, Noah, I'll start with you, as you are the other Yankee fan in our group, in the show, what are your thoughts on it, not only for the Blue Jays, but for the Yankees, as they are going to be the rivals for them going into this upcoming MLB season?
I think that they're the second best team in the AL East. I think the Rays lost a lot when they lost Blake Snell, but the problem with the Blue Jays is it's just going to be starting pitching. I mean, other than Hyunjin Ryu, like it takes a big drop off after that. But I will say George Springer does add something to that lineup. He had speed and to already a young, talented, fast lineup. So I think he adds a good amount. It's just, I'm looking at his numbers and he didn't have a great 2020. Like he was good, but not great. So I think overall that this Blue Jays team will be it'll be a tough matchup for the Yankees, just like the Rays were last year. And honestly, the Yankees didn't play great against the Blue Jays all year.
Yeah. So
they had 10 matchups, and I think there was that 1-4-game series where I think the Yankees went 1-3 in the whole thing in the series, and they just weren't playing good baseball and getting blown out of games.
There was that, and then there was that. Remember that last year's, I think before the end, where we just started mashing the ball.
Yep, and that's really good, because I think I think the Yankees need to realize who they're, what pitchers they're facing. I mean, again, Ryu is the guy on that team. There's nobody else after that. So I think that this team, though, they're that young talent, Kevin Biggio, and now obviously Springer's kind of, he'll be the veteran on the team with championship experience. Now, obviously that championship experience, you know, it's flawed, it's tainted, but you know, I think it adds something to the team. And Michael Brantley would have added another bit to it, but obviously, you know, he stays with the Astros. So we'll see. I mean, I think they're a tough team for the Yankees to face, but I'm not really that concerned.
Now, what about you, Dom? You're kind of the outsider looking in on this one.
Yeah, actually, Noah kind of took, you know, the words out of my mouth. I like Toronto's offense a lot. I think it's a little overhyped due to the fact that I'm not so sold on Biggio just yet, despite the great discipline he has. Vlad has been losing a lot of weight, I believe like 50 pounds.
Yeah, he
by
looks
now.
Like a different person.
He's looking really good. That's what I was hoping for out of him. I think it's just because of Tatis's brilliance is that this guy has even more pressure now. I love their offense, though, still. You know, if they signed Brantley and he didn't go back to Houston, that would have been great as a DH option. But that's my issue, too. I think that Ryu is just a great pitcher. But what else do they have after that? Relieving-wise, they got Yates, which I like. Mm-hmm. They got a couple of flamethrowers in that pen, too. But I think that, yes, they do have to get another starting pitcher. And it might have to be Trevor Bauer. They overpaid for Springer, in my opinion. But he was going to get that money, whether it was Toronto or the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't get Bauer, I still think they'll be pretty dang good in the AL East. But I'm trying to think, because Tampa took a step back. You have Boston not going to be that good. And then you have the Orioles. So, yeah, I could see them finishing second, nothing more. Even if they get Bauer, I see them being more second as a wild card team. But, yeah, they have to get another starting pitcher. So if it's not Bauer, try and get multiple arms in that starting rotation at a cheaper price.
Yeah, I agree. I think they got it. They still got to do some work if they want to be competitive. And the young players do have to step up. You know, I think, you know, we need to see some progression, some big jumps from Kevin and Vlad. I think Bo Bichette's kind of – he knows what he's doing, so I think we're going to see him progress farther and farther as he continues his career. So, yeah, it'll be interesting for the AL East. They're going to be our new rivals for the upcoming season. It'll be interesting. I don't believe they were ever our rivals either, because I remember when they were good, we were kind of in the Yankees were in a lull period where we kind of weren't competing. We were kind of competing, but we knew we weren't going to do anything great. So we're kind of just, we were in the middle of the pack during that time when they had Batista and Donaldson and Edwin. So we'll see. But switching from a guy, and I'm stealing this out of Dom's mouth, a guy who did hit a lot of home runs, to someone who was remembered of hitting a lot of home runs, Henry Hank Aaron has unfortunately passed away on Friday at the age of 86. This guy was one of, and if not, looking back on it after all the stuff I heard on Friday, probably the best baseball player to ever live. He holds the home run record in my eyes. A lot of people say that because obviously, you know, we have Barry Bonds, who technically holds it, but obviously we all know he juiced. So it's his record. He was a 20-time All-Star from the moment he stepped into the league to the moment he left the league. Lifetime batting average of .305, multiple time batting champion, Gold Glover, and you know, and a civil rights activist during his time, because he played in an era where baseball was the predominant sport, and you know, he was an African American man who had to endure a lot of stuff like Jackie Robinson did. Jackie Robinson did pave the way, but he also had to still fight for what was right in terms of color barriers in sports. So, you know, Dom, I'll go back to you on this. You know, the passing of Hank Aaron, what do you think he meant to not only the sport of baseball, but just overall sports in general? Because this guy was an icon.
Yeah, Anthony, he's actually one of my top five players of all time, one of my top five favorites. And this one hurt. I remember I got off the phone with my dad and I literally look at Twitter and I see Hank Aaron passes away, the Hammer. It was sad. 86 years old, an absolute legend for what he had to go through. And he's had a hell of a career, 25-time All-Star. You know, he even had a couple of Gold Gloves in there. And the amazing part is if you take away all of his home runs, he's still got 3,000 hits.
Yeah, he's got 3,700 hits. It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. For a right fielder and also a first baseman, spending a lot of time with, obviously, because they were the Milwaukee Braves, I believe, at the time, and then going to Atlanta, just was amazing. He really has helped shift the game as it is today, as well as Jackie Robinson. And with the home run to pass Babe Ruth back in 1974, and the criticism and the death threats he received was horrible. But you know what? It's what changed the game today. And that's what led the pathway for all these great, phenomenal athletes to pave their way into the MLB as we know today. And that's the tremendous part about it. So Hank Aaron, an absolute legend, an absolute warrior. He's going to be missed.
Noah.
Yeah, definitely. I was looking at MLB, their Instagram account, and some of the quotes were really, really profound. Like, Mickey Mantle said, as far as I'm concerned, Hank Aaron is the best baseball player of my era. And I think, Anthony, you and I were talking about it yesterday, going through, I mean, he's got to be easy top five, probably one of the best. So, you know, that's just a testament to who he was. And then, but outside the game, what he did, you know, because like you said, Jackie Robinson did so much, but he had to endure racism.
Yeah, because we weren't past it yet. I mean, Jackie did break it in, but we weren't there yet.
And I saw something, people were talking about how, you know, he could have been so bitter and angry. Mm-hmm.
He could have snapped, yep.
But he handled it with grace and was respectful and nice and just a good person. And the other quote that I really thought was profound was, the only man I idolized more than myself, and that was from Muhammad Ali. So, like, I mean, if that's the praise you're getting, that's a great person. Not only a great person, but a great baseball player, and just somebody who is like you said, Anthony, an icon.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Because I mean, if you look at it, he's in that class with, like I said, Jackie, Muhammad Ali, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar himself. You know, that's an elite group on his own, and Bill Russell. You know, those five guys really changed not only their sport in general, but also just the way African Americans now play the game of sport, whether it be in baseball, football, or also color analyst, you know, because Stephen A. Smith brought that up. And, you know, we all have our opinions about him, but when he was talking about Hank Aaron, he said, "I would not be here today if it wasn't for that man," which is true for him and a lot of other people in the industry.
And the other thing is, like, as far as icons go, you know, Michael Wilbon, I think, from
PTI,
he talked about, you know, Babe Ruth and Muhammad Ali and Michael Jordan. Like, those are icons. I got to say, like, Hank Aaron is, if not on that list, he is like right there, you know.
He's up there.
He's definitely up there. So it's like, it's just a sad day. And obviously it's just something that he's going to be remembered greatly for what he did.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think that, you know, cause you said, like, you know, Jordan, Ali and all those guys. And I feel like he gets kind of lost in the shovel, cause he wasn't like this, like, he didn't have that superstar quality. You know, he was kind of this regular guy who was very consistent and had a great longevity throughout his entire career. You know, he put up great numbers, but it was consistent throughout the time. And was it because at the time baseball was a predominantly white sport? Yeah, but you know, you look back on it, this guy was averaging 40 home runs and 130 RBIs. It was ridiculous. So I feel like that gets lost in the shell. I think now, as everyone was kind of remembering and reminiscing about him, we kind of all realized that, wow, this guy was such a great player. And I feel like, you know, fans and, you know, baseball people and sports people kind of wish that they really, you know, acknowledged that more while he was alive. Because I think people took that for granted while he was still here with us on Earth. But, you know, rest in peace to the great Hall of Famer, Hank Aaron. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about NFL football. You know, today's the big day, championship game. Winners of these games go to the Super Bowl. You know, will it be Tom Brady or will it be Rodgers or will it be, you know, Josh Allen and the Bills Mafia, or will Patrick Mahomes go back to kind of hang on to his crown and win his second straight Super Bowl. All that and more coming up after these underwriting announcements on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7thebronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Riding University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano, and alongside me today is Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs.
It's weird to say it just myself.
Yeah, it is, because we're not on harmonizing and all that good stuff. Dom unfortunately had to step away. He's got to go, you know, get some food. But he'll be back with us next week. But we got some NFL picks and games to talk about. There's two games on the board today. We're gonna start off with the game everyone's kind of looking forward to, which is the first game, which is the 3 o'clock game, Packers and the Bucks. You know, this is a big deal because it's Rodgers versus Brady. It's the first time that Aaron Rodgers is ever hosting a championship game at his home field in Lambeau. And you know, these guys are kind of, you know, rejuvenating their careers. You know, Tom Brady, 43 years old. No one thought that he'd be able to, you know, do what he did in New England and Tampa, but he's proving people wrong, and he's back again trying to make it back to another Super Bowl. And then we have Aaron Rodgers, who basically just had one of the most crazy seasons in NFL quarterback history, at the age of 37, mind you. So, you know, it's going to be a battle of quarterback titans. I feel like a lot of people are rooting for, you know, whether it be Brady kind of proving everybody wrong, getting that seventh ring, proving Belichick and the Patriots wrong, and basically closing the debate of the greatest of all time in quarterback, and that it'll be him. And then we have Aaron Rodgers, who's trying to get back and win his second Super Bowl, because he hasn't, you know, he won one, but it was a decade ago, so it's been a while. So, you know, he's 37. We don't know how much time he has left in the game, but you know, you got to take, you know, everything you can with it and try to get back there. So Noah, I know you're not a big fan of Mr. Rodgers and the Packers. You think they, quote unquote, I quote you, say they stink. Let's hear your thoughts going into this game.
Okay, I think this is going to be a very, very good game. First off, in Lambeau, 3:05 kickoff. I heard earlier in the week that there would be snow, so watch out for the weather and stuff to play a factor. But I think once the game's going, I think that both quarterbacks will be ready to go. I'm really interested. I think the most important part of the ball right now are both defenses, because neither defense is great. Both solid defenses. But I will say, the way the Bucs defense played last week against the Saints, I thought was really impressive. And though I will say, having Breeze play the way he did, and I don't think he really could throw past like 20 yards. I'm not like being mean or joking. I actually think he was really struggling getting the ball downfield. So that'll be the interesting part. But I just want to make clear my problems with the Packers. It's not that Aaron Rodgers isn't a great quarterback. I think when he is done with his career, I think he's top five quarterbacks of all time easily. Like, easily. I just think he's awesome. My problem is that people equate his success and what he does on the field with the rest of his team. So the Packers are 13-3 2 years in a row. Last year, the opponents they faced, and this year too, are just not up to par. They beat up on these bad teams, and then, you know, come playoff time, they lose these games. I mean, they played San Francisco in the NFC Championship last year, and don't get me wrong, like, San Francisco is a great team and was a great team, but like, Aaron Rodgers is a way better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think it comes down to the weapons that both people are, you know, both quarterbacks have. So I just think people need to just sit back and let the players do the talking. And I think sometimes they just, whatever the Packers do, everyone just loses their minds. And I will say this, if there's a fan base that doesn't get enough crap, it's the Packers. I follow this guy on Twitter who's a Packers fan. Mm-hmm. He is the most delusional fan I have ever heard of in my
really?
Life.
Not Eagles fans?
Well, okay, so it goes, I think what it goes is, it goes Eagles fans, then Packers fans. I think Patriots are fans. Patriot fans are up there too. They're dilute. Well, but then again, it's tough. New York fans are pretty stupid.
Yeah. No, yeah, we are at times. Yeah.
I mean, like I don't think you and I think we're pretty fair most of the time. But like when it comes to, I just like, but I'm telling you, Packers fans, and again, Cowboys fans. But the thing is, since I've been alive, the Cowboys have never won anything. So I don't really see them as that delusional. I think they're, I mean, at least Sean, but I don't know. I just, some of the stuff he says, it's just like, there was a play the other day that he complained about a call. I mean, if you watched games this season, them against the Titans, the refs called a phantom offside on the Titans against the Packers. They called the Packers get every call. So I don't want to hear any complaints about a single penalty call. It just bothers me. Mm-hmm. But Aaron Rodgers is not, I think he's cocky and he's arrogant. I will say that, but I don't, he's not overrated. He's not overrated. The team I think is, that's all.
So who do you have in the game?
Anthony, I got the bucket.
You're picking with your heart, not your brain. Or are you picking with both in your eyes?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I don't know. I it's tough because you know, I was last night. I was my mom made me this chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
And she's like, I saved one for you, and it was 12 o'clock, and I was going to eat it. So I took a bite out of it and I was like, I can't eat this. And then there was a cupcake also. And I went to eat that and I was like, I can't eat this. So I'm so indecisive. I just can't decide, but I'm going Bucks with my heart and my mind.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, I am going to go with the Packers. I feel like they're the most consistent. They were the most consistent team in football. But in my eyes, it goes down to quarterback wise. I think, you know, Brady did not play very well. You know, the run game was very predominant in that game, which is good.
You mean last week?
Yeah,
right?
against the Saints, but it was very predominant, which is good in a sense. That means the Packers have to watch out for that with Fournette. But I think Rodgers will figure it out and he'll get it done. And I think home field advantage for me, that's a big deal. For this game, you know, because, you know, you and Dom said during the breaks how, like, oh, like, you know, people saying, oh, Lambeau Field, like, it's kind of Rodgers kind of just going to take this one easy. But, you know, Brady has played in New England for 17, 18 years or so, and he's played in the cold. He's played deep into the season where it's, you know, 20 degrees, sometimes lower than that, and he succeeded. So he knows how to play in cold weathers as well. So it's not like he's facing, like, Jimmy G or other guys, you know, that aren't used to it. Like Tom Brady is also used to this. So I think it'll be close, but I give the slight edge to the Packers on this one just because they're home. If it was the other way around, I'd probably give it to Tampa.
Well, and if Tampa wins, this is the first time that
a Super Bowl team is home.
Is at their home arena, which Raymond James Stadium. So.
Yeah, it'd be crazy.
That will be – yeah, because, I mean, Minnesota had a chance against the Eagles in the NFC Championship a couple years ago, but obviously the Eagles took care of that business. So we'll see.
Next game, obviously, is Bills-Chiefs. Chiefs are trying to repeat, be two-time champions. Bills, however, are trying to get to the promised land. If you look at both teams right now, obviously the Bills are the hotter team, the more favorite team, in my opinion, even though the Chiefs are the defending champs due to Patrick Mahomes having that – concussion that he suffered in the last game and kind of surprisingly getting through concussion protocols rather quickly. And it's kind of like, okay, did you really go through concussion protocols or did they just kind of wing it? But like, all right, he has to play, because if he wasn't going to play, they're obviously going to lose and the ratings were going to go down in that game. But I think for me, I want to see the Bills. I think I've said the Chiefs that they were going to win and stuff like that. But, But I just think the Bills deserve it. They got so hot towards the end. I feel like it'd be great to kind of see a New York team win, because one hasn't won in about a decade since the Giants won. But, yeah, you know, Josh Allen, I love him. He's a great guy. Stephon Diggs is rejuvenating his career, because everyone thought he was kind of done in Minnesota, but he kind of went a whole 180. So yeah, I'm going to give it to Bills Mafia. I'm riding with them.
Are you picking them for the game? Like, you're picking them to win the game? Or you're just rooting for them?
I'm rooting for them. If it's Bills Packers, then I don't really care who wins. I will say that.
No, but also, do you think the Chiefs are going to win though?
Do I think they'll win?
Do you think the Chiefs will win? Yeah.
No.
Or do you think? Okay, so you think the Bills are going to win? Okay, yeah, fair. Because I am leaning slightly towards the Chiefs. I think they're going to win, but I'm definitely rooting for the Bills. I think Josh Allen is such a good quarterback. I do think that they've played, you know, they played the Ravens last week, which is probably second best defense in the league, but they need to score points. They need to score points. And I've heard this thing that the Bills have not played a great game in the playoffs yet. Like, they haven't played bad. They haven't played poorly. It's just they haven't blown a team out or pulled away.
Yeah, and it's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts, it was a close game, and same thing with the Ravens until the pick six and everything. But I think this is the game where if they can just come out and just fire on all cylinders, move the ball downfield. And here's what I think is the biggest thing, is taking time away from Patrick Mahomes to be on the field. Yep. The more time you take away from him, the less time that offense gets to, you know, ruminate and come together and really, you know, just mesh. I think that the Bills are, it's going to be another good game. I just hope that the Bills can really ratchet Mahomes and that offense down. If they can just pull them together and throw them off with their defensive looks, and the Bills are a good defense, I think it'll be close. But I lean Chiefs, but I'm obviously, like I said, I'm rooting for the Bills. So,
all right. So we both have the Bills. No, you're leaning towards. You're doing this brain versus heart. Your heart wants the Bills, but your brain's saying the Chiefs.
And I hate being wishy-washy. I think the Chiefs are going to win. I'm rooting for the Bills. Right. I want to see the Bills win. And you know what? Honestly, in this sports media world, you're supposed to be unbiased and not have. Listen, we have opinions. We're people. We're human beings.
Yeah, everyone's biased, whether you admit it or not. Everyone's biased.
And honestly, I don't like, I wouldn't, in the NFC, I wouldn't like to see either team win necessarily, but you gotta have somebody to root for to be into the playoffs now, so.
Mm-hmm. All right. So those are our picks, and, you know, before Dom left, he gave us his picks. He has the Bucks beating the Packers, and he has the Bills beating the Chiefs, so that is what he's picking.
So Bucks-Bills Super Bowl for him.
Yeah, so we'll see, and then, you know, next week, obviously, there won't be any football next week because they have that week off. But we'll still talk about it, preview it and stuff like that. Yeah, the Pro Bowl. Wow. It's a great game to watch, Noah. Yeah.
The biggest part of the game last year was that Kobe Bryant passed away. That was the only reason that's the only reason people like tuned into the game to find out like what the reactions were of the players. Like, no one watches it. You know, it's just not an interesting, none of the All-Star games are really interesting.
Yeah, it's a joke. But anyways, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into some NBA basketball, kind of some news and highlights going around the league from this past week on the Sports Fever after these underwriting announcements on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Rider University studio. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano, and alongside me today is Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs.
Oh, yeah.
So in this segment, we're going to talk about, you know, NBA. It's kind of been a slow week, in the NBA. You know, there's been a couple, you know, big things that have happened, but nothing too, like, crazy, like it's been in the last couple weeks. I believe the only really big thing that's really happened, obviously, I think in my eyes, and then Noah, you could obviously, if you have anything else you can add, it would probably be the Kyrie Irving return to Brooklyn after his massive 7-game absence from the team. He has said that his reasoning behind not being with the team is he's been going through a lot of stuff and personal stuff, and that's why he didn't play. When he came out and said that, I thought it was utter, you know, I'm not going to say the word, but I wasn't happy with him, just because of the fact that I get that, like, you had to, like, okay, yeah, mental health, and yeah, you had to take your priorities. I get that, but the way you handled it and the way you just, like, went off the grid and didn't tell anybody is really unprofessional. And the fact that, you know, I don't know if I can believe you or people can believe you, because you were seen partying Monday night with your sister. Now, I know it's your sister, that's family, but, like, you have a job and you're getting paid millions of dollars to do this kind of job. So it doesn't make sense. And then, you know, people were like, but then, you know, obviously, as soon as he came back, he was like, oh, like, he bought George Floyd a home, or he bought George Floyd's family a home, which is great. You know, props to him. But I think that was kind of overshadowing all the stuff he was doing, or for the reasons why he was not with the team. I just feel like if he communicated with it, or if Steve Nash or somebody said, like, yeah, like, you know, he's dealing with a lot of stuff, you know, personal reasons, but, you know, he'll be back soon. Like, there has to be some communication between him and the coach, and from the coach or the team itself, and to the media and the fans. Yeah. Because we're paying to see you play. So basically our money is becoming your money. It's probably going to be a part of your salary, if you catch my drift. So I was just... I mean, I was utterly angry, but, you know, then again, he is our guy. So when he came back against Cleveland, I was happy to see him back. But, you know, we dropped 2 games against Cleveland. OT, we went into OT with them, and Colin Sexton just went unconscious. It was just a different man, and destroyed us, and I was pretty upset. And then, you know, Kevin Durant, obviously, he rested Friday, as he should, played 50-plus minutes in that game. It was a double OT game, and they just needed a rest, because he was basically carrying the team while Kyrie was out, and yet they still lost to Cleveland again. And it was a 12-point deficit that we lost by, so it's just not good. Nash came out and said, we're not a defensive roster, and that needs to change. We need to really... tighten up the defense, and you know, we got to, you know, change some stuff around, whether it be offensive schemes, because they chuck a lot of threes, and when they fall, it's great, and then when they don't fall, it's a colossal mess. But yeah, I mean, we did beat Milwaukee this week. That was great, but then again, there was no Kyrie Irving, so I feel like people were all saying that has something to do with it, because, you know, it was just Harden and Durant, and they work very well together, but I think with Kyrie in the mix, it's kind of... People are wondering, can this work? I don't know.
I mean, I think the another good story. This might have been in between the weeks. I don't know. Just seeing James Harden, like, he had all this weight on him, you know, when he was with the Rockets, and it looked like he lost weight going to the Nets. Like, it looked like he lost 10 to 15 pounds easy, maybe more. So that was one thing. I just want to point another thing out. I thought what you said is really fair about the stuff with Kyrie. You're a fan. Like, you have a right. You have a vested interest in this team, and you have a right to be upset or be, hey, what's going on with this? You know, like, have that reaction. And I thought George Hill, I think it was, made this comment, like, if I want to see my family, like, I'm going to do it. And I understand the sacrifices they're making, but they're making that sacrifice to make millions of dollars.
Yeah, it's not. I'm like, is it really a sacrifice?
Exactly. You're making millions of dollars. So you have to. Well, the sacrifice would be, hey, I'm not going to make that money, and I'm going to go spend time with my family. And that's a fair thing. You can opt out of the season, but don't go into the season knowing what the circumstances are, knowing where we are, and then say, if I want to see my family, I'm going to. I just think that's such a selfish attitude. And it really bothered me that he would say that. Like, you can just say, hey, I'm not going to play the season because it's too much a sacrifice. to do that and be away
you
from
can't you can't get yeah you can't get the best of both worlds. Like you can't because you got to remember, like, you know, it's not like the owners are making that much money. The owners are still losing money, and they still got to pay your salary, which is $35-40 million. You know, for George Hill, probably less, but still, for Kyrie Irving type players, it's a lot of money.
And the thing is, George Hill, he's probably making more of the lower, you know, the minimum, not the minimum, but he's making lower, you know, not as much money. He's still making millions of dollars. Like, he's not making chump change. So, look at it this way. David Price, he was not comfortable with what was going on. He was not comfortable with the coronavirus, so he opted out of the season. I respect that much more. You understand that you have to make a decision for your family, and I get that. It's a rough decision, but you can't make the money, have this great opportunity, and then go, well, if I want to see my family, I'm gonna risk the rest of my teammates and their family's lives. I mean, you know, it's selfish. Like Carl Anthony Towns, that guy cannot catch a break.
Yeah.
He has had so many issues with this virus. He's had people pass away. He's gotten it like twice. And I just think it's like, you got to think about the people in this that are surrounding you. And it's just, I just think that's a selfish attitude that both Kyrie Irving and George Hill have. And Kyrie Irving has done great things. I mean, the stuff with George Floyd's family and all that stuff, I think.
He's scholarship stuff and, you know, contributing to the WNBA. It's all great, but he can be, you know, it could look better on him if he didn't have all these antics attached to him as well, you know, because people are always going to overshadow the positive for the negative. And that's what people are doing. You know, like, oh, I did this, but you also did this. Absolutely. So it's just, you know, as a fan of his, you just hope that he kind of gets his head straight and figures it out and puts the team first, because you did want to come here. You were excited to be part of Brooklyn and the Nets family and try to bring a championship. And that's what we're trying to do in these next 3 years, is bring a championship to Brooklyn. But as of now, it doesn't look that great. We're 9-8. We face Miami back-to-back at Brooklyn starting on, I believe, Sunday, which is, I think, today. Sunday or Monday, one of the two games. Yeah. One of the 2 days. So, you know, we'll see. I just hope that they figure it out. Obviously, Kevin Durant will probably be back, thank God, because he is our savior. And I love him. So we'll see. And then as far as the other teams go, the Lakers, they're playing really well. LeBron kind of went off against the Bucks. The Bucks kind of look concerning now. They dropped two games to opponents that are likely they might face in the playoffs, whether it be the Lakers in the finals or the Nets in the Eastern Conference Finals, and they drop both those games. So they have probably some things to work on. The Knicks are kind of, you know, on this, they're kind of wishy-washy. They'll win, they lose. Like, they just lost to the Kings, but it was a close game. But like we keep saying, they're on the rise. I think Thibodeau's doing a great job. I think Barrett is starting to, you know, turn a corner. Yeah. I believe, you know, the last couple of games he's been putting up some solid numbers. So
what I like about that team though is they stress defense.
Because that's Thibodeau's model. It's defense.
Yeah, but I feel like that's lost in this league, because I think, you know, teams understand that once a team is just hot on threes or on fire, you know, they lose track of that and are trying to just, you know, go back and forth instead of playing your game. And I like that. And I think for the Nets, I think you shouldn't be too. I know it's rough right now, but you have one solace. The East is pretty wide open. I mean, the 76ers are 11-5, and then after that, you know, teams are not really playing great basketball. In the West, you have the Clippers, Clippers, Lakers, and the Jazz are like the top three teams right now, record wise.
Yeah, and probably I think the Nuggets are right there too.
But it's like, you know, the Nets are just starting out rough, you know, so I think they just need a little more chemistry and a little more time together, and I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah, and also to kind of sign some players to fill the voids of the from the trade that we did, and also the loss of Dinwiddie. So, and that's all coming into fruition. So in the next couple of weeks, that'll happen, and the team will hopefully, you know, get on a better track. I just hope so. Hopefully next week I'll be in a more happier mood, or at least excited for what's to come in terms of what I see, because from those last two games I saw, I was not very happy. So we'll see. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show with some NHL talk with some, with Noah. I wish Sean was here, but obviously Sean's standard time. You know how that is.
What's Sean
dreaming about?
Out. Yeah.
But we got to take a quick break, and we'll be back after these underwriting announcements on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Rider University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano, and alongside me is No Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Gooks.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. We're in the final segment of the show, and what better way to end it off is with some, you know, NHL talk, some Rangers talk with our Rangers guru, Mr. Noah Gugliotta.
The guru.
Yeah.
Noah Guru Gugliotta. All right. So, last night, or, well, Friday night
yeah,
was a Rangers-Penguins game, which is a big game, and I was not able to watch it because both Dom and I were working Bronx Vision that night, so we weren't able to watch it. But I can kind of go through what happened that night, and then go into the issues, the bright spots of the season so far. It's only four games in, but obviously you can kind of tell where a team is going, at least to start. And in this shortened season of 56 games, you know, you play eight of your division rivals. You know, the Rangers are playing a really tough set of teams, you know, the Penguins, the Capitals, the Bruins, the Islanders, the Devils. You know, they're playing tough teams, and they played the Devils on Tuesday night, I think it was, and lost 4-3, and played the Penguins last night or Friday night and lost 4-3 as well in a shootout. But the bright spots I would say for this team right now is last year, scoring was reliant on Artemi Panarin and Mika Zibanejad. And so far, I mean, last night, Filip Hedl had a goal. I think Adam Fox had a goal as well. And Kaapo Kakko, who is the 20-year-old or 19-year-old stud that they drafted a couple years ago. So I think that's really important for the Rangers. They need scoring all over the place, and that they're getting that right now is really important. So I just want to put that out there and make sure people, you know, are not too worried about this team. And listen, I've said this to Sean. I've said this to Dom, who's like a new Rangers fan.
Yeah, he like roots for them on the side.
Yes. This year, though, is not about the playoffs. I hate saying that as a Ranger. Like,
really?
A dire
all right. Fan,
because I don't need them to make the playoffs and go on a big run. I need these players, these young players like Keandre Miller, Kaapo Kakko, Filip Hedl, Alexi Lafreniere. Like, I need these guys to really develop now. And I don't need them to make the playoffs. Like, I, again, this is hard for me to admit it as a person who is so ready for the playoffs and so ready last year when they made it, you know, 12 and 12 from each conference that they were able to make it. And, you know, they got bounced from the first round. I just loved seeing them play, but it's not about that. It's just not. So Igor Shesterkin, the goalie of the Rangers, has struggled a little bit. He played the first game, gave up four goals, did not look right. And then he gave up three goals last night on 28 shots. So his save percentage was like 89.893 or something like that, which again is not great. So what needs to happen is just defensively, the Rangers need to be shored up on defense, because right now they're not actually giving up a ton of shots. You know, they only gave up 28 shots in not only full regulation, but in overtime. That's a really solid number. It's about playing in front of him. And I think they're doing a solid job of that. My worry right now just for this team is defensively, I think there are still issues, though. I think Keandre Miller needs to improve, but he's really young. I think Tony DeAngelo is so good offensively as a defenseman, but his defense is just lacking. And then Jack Johnson is, I mean, brutal. I mean, just he's slow. he's not, he's very sloppy with the puck. It's just, it's brutal to watch. But overall, like I said to you, Anthony, this team is not about making the playoffs and making a deep run. It's really about developing these players. And if the playoffs come after that, hooray, great. But I don't, this is the toughest, it's probably the toughest conference in the league right now. They're just, it's just such even teams. You know, Capitals, Flyers, I forgot about the Flyers. Capitals, Flyers, Islanders, Penguins, Devils, Bruins, Rangers, and Sabres. And, you know, those are just tough.
Yeah, those are all pretty, yeah.
Yeah,
it's not
and,
easy.
And the thing is I honestly, I mean, I could see anywhere from four teams being the leader in the division. The Capitals, Flyers, Islanders, and Bruins, I could see any one of those four teams being the top team in the division. That's how good those teams are. And the Penguins are right there too. Like they could, you know, so it's just going to be really tough for the Rangers, but that's a good thing in my opinion. Get these tough games, get them out of here, make them play against these tough teams, and they're going to win games, the Rangers. They're going to play well, but they're also going to have those games where they just don't show up because they're young, inexperienced, and they need to just, you know, break through that. So that's basically what I'm, you know, looking forward to. And I think it's something that needs to just be, we need to be honest with ourselves. Mm-hmm. So.
You just want to see continuous growth from these players, and hopefully that you do end on a high note or end. Yep. Okay. I have seen progression from day one of the season till the end of the season. Like, okay, we can work with this and move on to the next season. Then hopefully, you know, it's, you know, playoff runs and, you know, all that. Yep. Good stuff.
Perfectly put, Anthony. That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool.
Good job. Boiled it down. We're working together. The tandem, the duo, we're here. We had Chick-fil-A yesterday.
Or Friday.
I scarfed it down at 9 o'clock in my car after Bronx.
You did?
Oh my God. Dom was sitting there. He was looking down at his phone. I was done in like 30 seconds. I was going off on that sandwich.
Oh man. Well, of course. I mean, it's Chick-fil-A. You kind of have to.
Oh my God, so good. Yeah. Anyone who thinks, I'm not trying to be mean, but anyone who thinks that Popeyes is a better chicken sandwich.
Stop.
I mean, stop. Popeyes is good, but no. I had that last night. Oh my God. you should upload my face because I'm excited about that sandwich from last night.
as you should be. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. We thank you for tuning in. You can follow us on Instagram, @thesports_fever, Twitter, same handle. And you could, if you want to shoot us an email, you can, thesportsfever@gmail.com. But this has been the show. We thank you for tuning in, and be sure to tune in next week at 12 o'clock on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com. And on all social media and on all podcasting platforms at 1 o'clock too. But until then, have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes every Monday at 1 to 3 on 107.7 The Bronx and also on every podcasting platform you can think of.